Hello and welcome to another episode of Extra Time, a conversation with the national newspaper staff writers and editors on UAE and international sports. It is Tuesday, December the 16th. I'm Chitrabhanu Karlail for the national.ae. The inaugural International Premier Tennis League, or IPTL, concluded with its final leg in Dubai last Saturday. The tournament, a brainchild of Indian tennis star Mahesh Bhupathi, two of the world's top players, including Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova, among others. It was played between four city-based franchises and had a number of new rules and innovations. But whether or not the competition captured the imaginations of fans in the UAE, and whether it has a future in the crowded calendar, to discuss this, I'm joined by Gary Minahan on the phone from Dubai. Hey, Gary.
Hi, CB.
How's it going? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Right. When I read your piece previewing the IPTL before the Dubai leg started, and I figured you were ambivalent about the competition conceptually, but you had left the readers to decide whether it would be a success or not. Judging by the level of attendance at the Hamdan Sports Complex and, you know, from speaking to people in general, what did you feel?
I think if you were to judge it solely on the attendances at the event over the 3 days, mm-hmm. you'd have to say that it wasn't embraced at all. I mean, the attendances were very poor, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's so much about the actual event or the concept or the format or whatever, mm-hmm. and more about the mispromotion, the underpromotion, the mismarketing. It wasn't very well marketed. A lot of people who I spoke to didn't know it was going on.
Okay.
A lot of people knew it was happening but didn't know when. Some people didn't know where. There was a lot of problems, but how much of that actually has to do with the tournament itself, mm-hmm. it's hard to tell.
But you know, it did well in the other three cities, right? Singapore, Manila and Delhi, but not so well in Dubai. What was it? Was it a lack of novelty, you know, about watching top stars? Because, you know, we do have two other tournaments that happen in the UAE, the Dubai Tennis Championships as well as the Mubadala Tennis Championship that, you know, is going to start in a couple of weeks. Is it a lack of novelty, or, you know, is it, again, like you said, maybe Hamdan Sports Complex being really far away and the inability of people to get there? What were the reasons why this tournament didn't really take off?
I think it's probably a mixture of things. I mean, if you look at Manila, mm-hmm. the Philippines traditionally haven't had, like, guys like Djokovic, Federer, Murray. These guys don't go to Manila often, if
right.
ever.
Mm.
So it's a real novelty for them to see these guys in action. Whereas for Dubai, for the UAE, Djokovic is going to be here in a couple of weeks in Abu Dhabi.
Right.
Federer has been playing here for, 10 years now?
Yeah.
So the novelty, I wouldn't say it's worn off, but it's not such a big draw.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it goes back to guys like Federer, they're obviously crowd pullers, but they can only pull the crowd in if the crowd or the potential crowd know that the guys are coming.
Right.
I mean, Federer can be here, but if nobody knows he's here, he's not going to be a crowd puller. No one's going to go and see him if they don't know he's here.
Right. Right. You know, the other thing I wanted to ask about was the tournament itself, the format of the tournament itself. And I watched the final day of the tournament, by which time it was established that the Indian Aces, you know, had already won and that the UAE Royals, who were second placed, would not be able to catch them. You know, so even the players lacked intensity, you know, and they seemed to be going through the motions, maybe barring Goran Ivanisevic, who played for the Royals. Everyone else just seemed to go through the motions. And I was wondering whether you had a problem with the format of it, or, you know, the fact that there was a dead rubber on the final day.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't helpful. Mm. Everyone wants every sporting event ideally goes to the final day. We mm-hmm. saw the Formula One this year,
right.
with the playoff Hamilton and Rosberg.
Mm.
Goes to the final day, got a lot more excitement, a lot more riding on it, a lot more people want to be there because it's history in the making. You see who wins.
Right.
Now, that wasn't the case here.
Mm.
Yes, I think they'll probably change the rules slightly for next year to try to help that happen.
Right.
What you were saying about players lacking intensity. I mean, as much as they want to tell you it's not exhibition tennis, it's exhibition tennis. And that's what you're going to get. I mean, you can see players, they play very fiercely for the points. They,
right.
they really compete hard, but when they lose the point, there's no tear shed. No one's going to walk off crying if they lose a match.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the other thing I wanted to ask you is the scoring system. It took me 3 matches to figure it out, partly because I'm so used to reading scores in sets. But in this case, even though you had 5 sets, the number of sets won did not matter as much as the cumulative number of games. I mean, in short, is it me or was the scoring system really complicated?
I think it's you. No, I'm joking.
Really?
It's a complicated system. Uh-huh. It's obviously a brand new format that's never been done before.
Mm.
And I think the organisers could have really done better in terms of explanation.
Mm-hmm.
I felt from the first day that it hadn't been explained well enough to the fans. I mean, the fans are sitting there watching. Unless they've read beforehand, unless they've done the research, they don't know what's going on.
Right.
And I just thought it'd be better if either the DJ or the umpire or whoever, somebody explained, okay, this is going to be a 5-minute shootout, this is how it works.
Mm.
This person has elected to use their happiness PowerPoint.
Right.
This is what that is. Because otherwise, it's very confusing for the fans, and then it loses all. And if you don't know what's going on, you're not going to enjoy it, are you?
Right, yeah, exactly. And in fact, even towards the end, I think I can't remember which shootout it was. Usually you have these tiebreakers, which of course they call shootouts in this particular tournament.
Yeah.
And the tiebreakers end with at least a 2-point differential between the winner and the loser. But in this case, when they got to, I think, 5, then it was down to, the 1 point that would finally ensure who would win or who would not. But then the server obviously would have the advantage in that situation, right? So, things like that, small niggles like that. And even the other thing which I felt was missing was they didn't have a speed gun. We normally love to see the server speeds of different players, and especially when someone like Goran Ivanisevic was there. And if you're thinking of having a tournament with a little bit of fun, I thought that would have been an interesting addition to the tournament. But anyway, I mean, you and I have been sitting here discussing, how this tournament failed, and at least this in its inaugural year. What is the impression you got from the organizers and the players, from talking to them at the press conferences after the matches?
The players loved it, and I think me and you would love it too if mm-hmm. we ended up getting paid so much money for playing it. But the players are very, very complimentary of the event as a whole.
Okay.
They weren't overly sold on the format and mm-hmm. some of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be tweaked next season.
Okay.
The one thing that they all spoke about was team spirit and how they really enjoyed being part of a team, because during the season, obviously, each player has their own coaching team, their own dietitian, masseuse,
right.
coach, trainer. They all have their own separate teams, and they basically go around by themselves.
Right.
And during this past couple of weeks, they've been part of a team. They've got to go for dinner, travel on the same plane as all these other players, and they really got to know each other, which they said was a novelty for them.
Right. And do you think this competition has, some sort of potential to expand? I mean, you've written a piece in which there was speculation, at least, that Doha or maybe even Hong Kong might be interested in floating franchises for this tournament. I mean, do you see the potential of this tournament maybe expanding its footprint across the world?
I don't know about across the world, across the region. I think definitely. I mean, it's obviously they've realised Asia is an untapped market.
Mm.
There is a lot of potential there to go tennis out here.
Right.
And there's countries with money and budgets willing to spend to get the big tennis names out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will expand Mahesh Bhupathi confirmed that it will expand next year.
Right.
So he wants to have 8 teams by 2020.
Mm. Wow.
Some teams will join next year, then they don't want more teams joining 2016.
Mm.
And then presumably maybe some more in 2017 if it's still around. But who knows?
Right. But is this going to... It's obviously already crowding a crowded calendar. Do you think it'll threaten the existing ATP and WTA structures? And people the players especially, have already complained that they play way too much tennis. And yet you saw some of the top stars in this particular competition. So do you think this is going to be some sort of a threat to the ATP and the WTA competitions that are already existing in a calendar?
I think it's 2 points of interest from that question. The first was the crowded calendar mm-hmm. aspect of the question. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the last, I think it was the last set of the last match on mm-hmm. on Saturday, mm-hmm. Gail Monfils got injured, and he was very disappointed after the match in the press conference. He was in quite a bit of pain, and you think he's now, his off season, his pre-season training, if you will, has been obviously quite badly affected now if this injury is as bad as he thought it was.
Right. Hmm.
So how does that affect him going into a new season, going into what is competitive tennis?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one issue. And then the second issue was whether it's going to threaten the ATP and WTA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to threaten them. I think the one thing it could do, I mean, most of the rules, I think, would take a long time, if ever. I can't see most of the rules being adopted by the ATP. But the one thing that did work well, I thought, was the time penalties. So you had to serve, you had 20 seconds to serve. And I think that worked quite well. Maybe not the buzzer with 5 seconds to go.
No,
that was quite off-putting.
It was very annoying, yes. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. But I think in terms of speeding the game up and getting, just making the game flow faster, I think that was one of the good regulations they put in place.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting that they were promoting the game via Twitter. It was called hashtag break the court. So I'm guessing, like you said, there might be some sort of crossover of some rules into the ATP and WTA matches. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fascinating to see how, you know, Mahesh Bhupathi and his team, sort of build on what they've seen this year going into the next season. But that's all we have time for. Gary Minahan is a staff writer on the National Newspaper Sports Desk. This episode was edited by Marwan Al-Hamadi and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. You can follow our sports coverage at Twitter at SPRT National UAE and multimedia coverage at NSV UAE. You can also follow Gary on Twitter at G Minahan. I'm Chitrabhanu Karlail.